Well, good morning to you all. It's good to be with you again. It's good to be here at the chapel, and it's good to see each one of you. Well, we saw you earlier, but I can't see you now. However, I appreciated the pictures. The wise old owl, old, yeah. I hope there's a little bit of wisdom with these gray hairs. And I trust as we look into the Word of God that our hearts will be refreshed. I must say that in looking at those pictures, it brought back a lot of memories. It's nice to see them, but it's sad to see some of the empty seats today. However, what a hope we have in Christ that it won't be very long till we hear the shout and we will be raptured home to be with Christ, which is very, very far better. Now, this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Joshua again. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, and we're going to look at the first 12 verses. So if you have your Bibles at home, take the time to open it up and follow as we read the sacred pages or a sacred page or part of a page of this blessed book. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their hearts melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. In other words, their courage failed when they heard, when their hearts melted, their courage failed when they heard what God had done. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time." So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised. But all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed or destroyed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were circumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal, which literally means rolling to this day. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover. And notice this, on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched or roasted grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land that year." Now, I kind of think that some of the fruit of the land that they were now enjoying was what Joshua and Caleb brought back. You remember the grapes of Eshcol, and the branch was this, the branch was bending because of the weight? Well, I kind of think they were enjoying now maybe the grapes of Eshkol and many other blessed fruits as well. You know, personal matters first must be dealt with in your life and mine before there can victory, before victories can be won. In my life, there have been personal issues that have had to be dealt with over the years before the Lord would open up the way. And when we were looking back at Joshua chapter 4, it brings us to Gilgal, where Israel had encamped. And you remember the two memorials. There were 12 stones that were buried in the dark waters of the Jordan, and they bore witness to Israel that all their life was dead, their old past life was dead and buried, and it was never to be resurrected again. The same thing is true of you and me. Our baptism was a public declaration that we are buried with him by baptism into death. And you know, we love to sing that song, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back." And then another verse goes on, "The cross before me, the world behind me." But the big question is, we sing those words, but in my life and in your life, is it really true? The world behind me, the cross before me. Have you really said, "I have decided to follow Jesus"? But the 12 stones at Gilgal were seen every day that they would go to Gilgal. It was a constant reminder to them of the Lord's deliverance from the land of Egypt, the faithfulness of God in the wilderness, and now the safe crossing of the Jordan. And in the weekly remembrance of the Lord Jesus, we too reflect back to the cost of our redemption as we break bread together. The Red Sea separated Israel from Egypt. And as a believer in this world, always Egypt is a picture of the world. The Jordan separated Israel from the wilderness. And that would suggest the separation of the believer from the life of spiritual defeat, a new life of spiritual victory. Wasn't 40 years in the wilderness defeat? Wasn't it really a totally wasted time of 40 years? God had brought them to Kadesh Barnea. He had told them just to march in and take the land, but that wasn't good enough, so they decided to send out the 12 spies, and we've looked at that previously. And 10 of those spies brought back a bad word. Only Joshua and Caleb said, "Listen, let's go in and take the land." And because of that, they wandered in that wilderness. All of those who were 20 years of age and older died in the wilderness, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. All those who were born went into the land, and they saw a dream fulfilled. There's only one word why a whole nation missed the blessing of the new land, and that's the word disobedience. It's costly when we are disobedient to the word of God. It's costly when we are disobedient to what God has for you and for me. And I need to be careful, and you need to be careful. And therefore, each believer has the potential of living a victorious Christian life, and this ought to be the normal Christian life. Now, it doesn't suggest, when we speak of the normal Christian life, that we'll always be walking on cloud number 9, and that we'll have no issues, no problems, no disappointments, no hurts, or anything like that. We certainly can look at the Apostle Paul. And as we read the record of his life, the shipwrecks, his beatings, his imprisonments, and all the things that happened to him, as well as the physical ailments that he experienced, He ends up saying, my grace, God could say, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And in your situation and mine, the same is true. We also think of the thousands of martyrs over the years and martyrs that have died even this past year for Christ in various parts of the globe, and we hear very little about it, but they have died, all for the sake of Christ. We think of old John, who gives to us the gospel, his three letters, as well as the book of Revelation. And here he is exiled at 90 years of age to that island all alone. Instead of enjoying the warmth and comfort of friends and family, he's exiled. And yet there he gives to us that beautiful and great book of Revelation. Battles, struggles, we all have them. But remember, we're looking off to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. And many of us are concerned about doing something for God. And I am, but I really think we ought to be more concerned about being something for God. We like to plan, to scheme, to think about our future, and too often we leave the Lord out of it. I remember being told many years ago by an older brother, he said, Jim, be careful, don't go ahead of the Lord. In other words, don't do it. Don't go anywhere. Don't step out of what you're doing until you have that peace and confirmation that this is the will of God. We sang that lovely hymn or heard it on the screen, and we joined in, and it was, Be Thou My Vision. Isn't that we want what we want? We want him as our vision. We have our visions. We have our ideas as to what we want to do for our lives and for God, but we should be more concerned about being something for the Lord. You remember Paul, and you know this verse well, Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The Lord Jesus always delighted in doing the will of the Father. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. Even to his parents, as they searched and found him, do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And this should be every believer's will. It's not for missionaries or preachers, but it's for every Christian, everyone who is a follower of the Lord Jesus. And the question comes when we think of Gilgal, when they would come back to that place, it would remind us that the old was past. They were dead to it. Are we dead to our self-esteem, our reputation, our point of view, what I want to do, to the things that we hold on to that are very dear to us? It's not easy, but it is the best way forward. Now, at Gilgal, there are many truths to be learned. First of all, Gilgal is the place of renunciation. It's also the place of restoration. It is the place of resurrection, a new life, a new beginning, and it is the place of remembrance. Gilgal, the place of renunciation. And as you look back at verse number 2, you'll notice what the Lord says to Joshua. Jehovah is speaking, and he says, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. And here is a place where we find that these sharp flint knives were used, and it really is the knives of self-judgment, a place where personal matters must be dealt with. And yes, it was going to be a painful surgery. For 40 years, the covenant had been neglected by them. You see, it's hard for us perhaps to understand this, but circumcision was a rite given by God to Abraham, the father of the Jews. And I'd like you to go back for a moment to Genesis chapter 17. And as we speak on this, we're not speaking on the physical aspect of it, but we are speaking on the spiritual aspect that is found here. Notice what God says to Abraham in verse 9, and God said to Abraham, Elohim said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generations, he who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendants, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. This was a very serious matter that God had given to Abraham, that was to be given to all the sons of Abraham. And it was to be an everlasting covenant. And there we see that this was part of the Abrahamic covenant. And you'll notice it took place on the 8th day after that child was born. 8 is always in Scripture a new beginning. 8 is always in Scripture a resurrected new life. And this was a sign to the nation of Israel that this was a new beginning. They were a unique, distinctive, special people, and they were separate from all the other nations. So it is true with you and me in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 through to 18. And take the time to read these. Come out from among them and be you separate. And the Lord is very clear on this. Now, the new generation that had come out of Egypt, that were 20 years of age and over, had not been circumcised. That is, those who were born in the wilderness. They had lost that distinctive mark of separation and possession of God. They were his unique people. In Numbers 14, there is the sin of unbelief at Kadesh Barnea. You remember, it only took them about 10 days or so to leave or cross the Red Sea to come to the borders of the land and just go in and take it, and they failed to do it. It was a costly mistake, but they lost their uniqueness. They lost their distinctiveness by being disobedient. That's true in your life and mine. And there needs to be a Gilgal in my life and in yours, where we come to the place and there is the renunciation of all that we do. Thus, I like, though, what the Lord says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 15 and 16. And let's just read that together for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, 15 and 16. The Lord, that is Jehovah, delighted only in your fathers to love them. Listen to what he says. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them. And he chose their descendants, their seed after them. You above all peoples, as it is this day. Now note this verse. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked or rebellious no longer. You see, it was a sign, wasn't it, that they were to cut away everything that would hinder them from their hearts, their passions, the things they loved, the things they desired. And don't be rebellious any longer. And so often we want our way, we want our will, we want all of these things. How does this apply to you and me? Paul, writing in Romans 2 and 29, he speaks not of the circumcision of the flesh, but the circumcision of the heart, the things, the passions, the toys that I want. Is it what God wants for me? And I need to be conscious and cautious of this. We look at Colossians chapter 2. Make note of it. And in verses 10 to 12, he says, putting away every impure desire or lust, putting away our wills, wanting only his will and his ambition. And as believers in Christ, it's not a physical. I like what Warren Wiersbe has said. No amount of external surgery can change the inner person. And so it's not the physical, it's the spiritual, the cutting away of things. Every impure desire, every lust, putting away our wills and wanting only his will and his ambition. It's a life of self-judgment, a life of discipline, a life of commitment, and I'm still learning. And graduation day happens when the Lord returns or he takes each one of us home. And you know, even dealing with the issues of your life personally, the lusts, the passions, the desires, the putting away of things, and this can hurt as well. There have been things that have happened in my life that the Lord has brought, and they hurt more than any surgery physically. They hurt my heart. They hurt my soul. They hurt me in a very deep way. And so it's so necessary. Just as the man healed physically, when you come back to the Lord, there's always a time of healing. And after the healing, there is a joy, a spiritual joy. And so we are to be set apart for God. You remember what Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set him apart. And so maybe there needs to be some cutting in your life. There's no blessing in your life, no joy, no power. Do you understand or ask why? But Gilgal also means it's the rolling, but the reproach has been rolled away. All the reproach of those 430 years in Egypt has gone. Those cruel years of slavery rolled away. All the tears, the bitterness, and disappointments of the wilderness for those 40 years has all been rolled away, buried, never to be resurrected again, and a new place to return, Gilgal, a place of renunciation, but a place of remembrance. And it's wonderful to remember, and to remember the Lord, and to remember the blessings we have. But all of these things that happened in both Egypt and in the wilderness was one word, the word disobedience. It's costly, isn't it? I remember a brother saying to me, he said, I remember a young man I grew up with. He got away from the Lord, got into the world, and he was restored to the Lord many, many years later. He was now a gray-haired man like I am, or he was, I am too. But he was a gray-haired man, and he had been restored to the Lord. He came back to the assembly, and for the first Sunday, remembered the Lord in over probably 40 or more years. And he said it was such a sweet time. And thank God he was restored, but it was the only Lord's Day that he ever remembered the Lord, because that week the Lord took him home to heaven. And he said to my friend, George, so many wasted years, so many wasted years. And so we have to think of the former years without Christ. They've all been rolled away. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We need to use the knife of self-judgment in our personal lives. We need to get back to our Gilgal, the place where personal matters are dealt with. Back to the heart of God, to the will of God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. But it's the place of restoration. In verse 5 and 6, notice what he says in Joshua 5. For the people who came out have been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness of Egypt had not been circumcised, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed or destroyed, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Too many Christians, you know, are experiencing an aimlessness in their life. And young people, I trust that you will, you know, make Christ truly the Lord of your life. And don't waste your years. Don't waste your youth. These are the times when you have the health, the vitality, the passion, the desires, and use it to please God and allow him to guide and direct in your life. And the men were now willing to submit to Joshua and the Lord. And so they are recircumcised, or they are circumcised. It was humiliating. It was painful. It hurt. They stayed in their tents until the healing took place, young and old. The life of Egypt had been humiliating. The wilderness journey had been humiliating. And remembrances of their past were humiliating. And now the final act would cause them to remember. And what does it do? He restores my soul. David said this in Psalm 32, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, charges with iniquity. Restore unto me, he could say, the joy of thy salvation. And David knew the restoration after he had got away from God. He had to cut back, didn't he? And boy, it hurt. Bathsheba had a little boy, and that little boy died. He had a rebellious son like Absalom who tried to usurp the throne, and boy, that hurt old David. And when Absalom, he finds out he is dead, he says, would to God I had died for you, Absalom. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. You see, the cost of disobedience to the will of God, to the heart of God, to the purpose of God is really difficult. But remember Gilgal. Gilgal is the beachhead, the place where we come in, the place where we go out. Gilgal was between the Jordan and the city of Jericho. The past behind was Jordan. The future ahead was Jericho. And the land. But again, it was the place of remembrance. You remember Paul in Ephesians 2, 5, and 6, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Wow, this is so great. This is the joy, the blessing, and victory that is ours in Christ. Enter into it. Believe it. Rest in it. We need our place of remembrance, our Gilgal, heavenly places, all the spiritual joys and blessings for you and me to enjoy, sins forgiven, communion with God. Heaven is our home, the peace, the security, the joy of walking with God, the old nature to be considered reckoned dead. Remember Gilgal. Yes, remember, the reproach has rolled away. So move on in your Christian experience. Don't mull over the past decades or years or months or days. Move on. And trust and accept his will. I learned this little line when I was just a young person. I heard it said at a meeting somewhere and made note of it. Not what I wish to be, nor where I wish to go. For who am I that I should choose my way? The Lord will choose for me. Young people, I plead with you for Christ's sake. And for your sake, let the Lord choose for you. And all of us, no matter what stage of life we're in, just allow him. Don't be hasty. Wait for him. We've had our experiences, our crossroads, our hard decisions. as have you. Sad times, yes. Disappointing times, experiences, yes. We need to stop struggling and start remembering what God has done. And you notice in verse 1, and we won't go back, but you look at that, it says the enemy had already heard and their hearts were melting. The Canaanites were terrified. God was preparing the way, and he is doing that for you and for me. As Israel crossed the Red Sea, they sang the song of victory on the other side in Exodus 15. The Lord has triumphed. The horse and the rider has been cast into the sea. But notice what he says in verse 15 of Exodus 15. He says, all the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Here they are going into the land of the Canaanites. What's God saying? He said it at the Red Sea. You know what? You're crossing the Red Sea, guys. You're going to cross and come to the Jordan, and you're coming to the wilderness. Just go right across it. And they're at Kadesh Barnea, and they hesitated. He had given them the promise at the Red Sea. They didn't need to send in spies. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. We have victory in Christ. This is the victory that overcomes the world. What? Even your faith. And may that be true of you and me. I like what Ray Stedman wrote. We cannot have God's power for our programs and our plans, but he must have us for his plans. What's your plan for me? I'm in the last days of my life, naturally. And what are God's plans for me? Not time yet to hang up my skates. The Lord's given me health and strength, and for that I'm so grateful. But it's a quandary that sometimes we're in. And the last thing I want to notice is verse 10. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal. That's where they were camping. And kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. You remember what I said last week, that in Exodus chapter 12, they were to keep the lamb from the 10th day onto the 14th day. It reminds us of the 3.5 years of the public ministry of our Lord Jesus, but there for those first 30 years, he lived in despised Nazareth. Now he comes out, and in those public years, he's under the scrutiny of all, and he goes to Calvary. And they were to choose the lamb on the 10th day and sacrifice it again on the 14th day and apply the blood. And so 38 years had passed since they had kept that Passover. They had wandered for 40 years. One day, for the 40 days, they spied out the land. And now, on that 14th day, they had been circumcised, the males, and they kept the Passover. Where? On the plains of Jericho. They're in a new land, folks. Can you imagine the joy and blessing? The pain was all past. The joy was before them. There was Jericho. But that wasn't going to be a piece of cake, was it? It was a walled city. And we'll come to that. And so you notice as well in verse 12, then the manna ceased. On the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land that year. Oh, manna. 40 years. Same diet, no change. No hamburger at McDonald's. You know, no Swiss chalet. The same ritual every day for 40 long years. And now they're enjoying the fruits of the land. May we enjoy that too. And may we enjoy our blessings that we have in Christ. Next week, God willing, we'll look at the latter part of the chapter in chapter 6. And I trust these few remarks are an encouragement to your heart and to mine as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege we've had of being here. We pray, Lord, to speak to our hearts. In the quietness of this moment, help us to be open, Lord, before you. And help us, Lord, to know your hand upon us. It's not easy, and at times we don't know what your will is, but help us just to wait patiently for thee. You know all about us, Lord. Better than we even know ourselves. We think we know, But Lord, we don't. So often, you know, we would say to our children, well, I can't explain it to you. You wouldn't understand. You just have to trust me. And Lord, sometimes we don't understand, but we have to trust you, Lord, and help us to trust you every day of our lives. And Father, we pray that in my life, be glorified today. May that be our heart's desire, our heart's prayer, as we offer our thanksgivings in that hallowed name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.